I invite you to stand as you're able for the hearing of this morning's gospel, which comes from the Gospel of John, reading from the 10th chapter. Jesus is speaking. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Let us join for a moment of prayer. Holy God, we do thank you for this day, for the opportunity to worship together, to hear your word, and for your word to be proclaimed. And I ask, O Lord, that now you would be present in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. Do the names Aaron Feast, Chris Hixon, or Scott Beagle mean anything to you? Aaron Feast, Chris Hixon, Scott Beagle. Probably not. They were in the news a couple of months ago. They were the three adults that were killed when the shooter came into the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, and 17 individuals were killed. They were names that for a while were in the news, but how quickly we tend to forget these folks. Aaron Feast was an assistant football coach who threw himself in front of the students to protect them. Students would remember him as always putting himself second, and he did that day what he did every day. Chris Hixon was the athletic director and also the wrestling coach, and he tried to disarm the shooter. He was the first to help people out, and he was remembered as one who was always there, and many athletes remembered that he did his best to get them admitted into college. He put others first. Scott Beagle was a geography teacher, and that day he had just finished teaching and he had locked his classroom for the day when the shooting began. He quickly unlocked his door and he ushered students in, but unfortunately he was not able to get into the safety of that classroom before he was shot. Students were clear that they were alive because of him. Aaron Feast, Chris Hixon, Scott Beagle. Three men going about their ordinary day. Three men who laid down their lives for others. Three men who should be remembered not just as heroes, but those who put others before themselves. Not only in their death, but according to reports, in their lives as well. Every day there are stories of people who do that. People who put themselves second and put others first. In May 2002, there was a story in the Hartford Courant, the newspaper, and it was a story about Robert Bonadies. And he was a skydiving instructor who gave his life while saving one of his students, Cynthia Highland. His student, Cynthia, was tumbling through the air at more than 120 miles per hour, and she couldn't get herself into the proper position to open her parachute. Neither could she find her parachute ripcord. Fortunately, she was flanked by two instructors, Bonadies and another instructor, Jim Olko. At first, the jump went according to plan. Bonadies and Olko were on either side of Highland, holding handles on her jumpsuit. They got into the proper position, facing the ground, back arched upward, and Highland practiced touching her ripcord. The three tipped over and went into a dive, and that is when Cynthia Highland discovered she couldn't find her ripcord. She didn't know how close she was to the ground, but her instructor knew, and he knew that further delays would mean a fatal landing. And so he stayed with her long enough to pull her ripcord, but too long to pull his own before impact. Hyland told investigators that Bonadies dies because he took the time to ensure her survival. He took the time to ensure her survival. Everyday stories of heroes who put themselves second and put others first. Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, but to lay down one's life for his friends." To lay down one's life for his friends. Whenever the news media reports a natural disaster or a terrorist attack, they frequently focus on the heroic actions of those first responders and volunteers who rush into these crises despite the danger, rather than avoiding or running away from them. We all remember those iconic pictures of a firefighter's helmet amid the Twin Towers rubble after 9/11, or a runner tending a man who lost his legs in the Boston Marathon bombing. And rescuers quickly cleared patients from a nursing home when a fertilizer plant exploded in West Texas. All of these pictures circulate on the web and they grace our television screens and our newspapers. In light of these images, we are invited to wonder, if I had been there, would I have run to help or would I have run for cover? Despite the assurances of most officials that seeking safety is probably the most important response to disasters, many people hope they would be moved to help others rather than to seek only to save themselves. If you were there, what would you do? Would you run or would you help? Would you remember to put yourself second and put others first? You might be thinking to yourself, well, those are first responders. That's what they're trained for. That's their job. That's their duty. That's what they're paid for. That's not me. But what would Jesus say about that? Jesus, who laid down his life for the sheep, laid his life down for every one of us. In the gospel lesson this morning, Jesus clearly says that he is the good shepherd. And he makes a distinction between the good shepherd and the hired hands. The hired hands are there just to do a job. They're just there to get paid. They probably would have no notion of putting their lives above the lives of the sheep. In fact, Jesus says if a dangerous wolf comes, they run away. They run to safety. They protect themselves before they protect the sheep. But the good shepherd is one who's there to protect, to nurture, and to deliver the sheep at any cost, even the cost of their lives. Today, we're pretty removed from sheep and shepherds, and we romanticize them, and we see wonderful pictures of sheep in a valley with a shepherd standing nearby. It's picturesque. But in Jesus' day, the life of a shepherd was anything but picturesque. It was dangerous, it was risky, it was menial. Shepherds in the ancient world lived with the sheep day and night. Shepherds were rough around the edges, and they were ritually unclean. They weren't able to keep the religious practices and obligations. The sheep had to come first. They didn't have time for all of those other requirements. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," and we think immediately of the 23rd Psalm, that piece of poetry that offers us comfort and assurance. But when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," to a crowd of scribes and Pharisees, to the religious elite and the educated, it would have been an affront. It would have been an affront. Shepherds weren't held in high esteem. And those scribes and Pharisees probably wondered who were those hired hands that Jesus was talking about. Surely it wasn't them. Surely it wasn't them. Those who were presumably in charge, but probably didn't know the sheep and didn't know the shepherd. Couldn't call them by name. Jesus, as the good shepherd, is unique. He intimately knows the sheep. He knows them by name and they know his voice. It's an intimacy that's missing with those hired hands who didn't take the time or aren't interested in knowing the flock. This week's Upper Room, there was an article that was sent in by Colin Harbach, and it was about seeing on the news the number of refugees and the overwhelming sense of what could one do with such a great number of refugees. And in this news story, Colin says, once he heard someone call one of the persons by name, Zaria, Zaria. And the author says, suddenly I no longer saw a crowd, but a group of individual people. Like Zaria, each one has his own personal story, her own experience of horror, fear, loss, pain, and sacrifice, as well as hopes, faith, and love. Knowing someone's name, putting a name to a face, and even especially something like a faceless situation like the number of refugees, makes it real. The author goes on to say that it changed his prayer life, that he now not only prayed for refugees, but he prayed for Zaria. He had a name. He could attach his prayers to a person. Isn't that true for us, too? Some of these nameless situations in our world, when we can attach a name to it, it makes all the difference. It makes all the difference when we know the name. As I reminded the children, the Good Shepherd not only knows our names, but knows our hearts. Knows our names and knows our hearts. It's an echo of the words from the prophet Isaiah. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Because you are precious in my sight, and honored, and I love you. Sounds like the protection of the Good Shepherd from the 23rd Psalm, the Good Shepherd that supplies all our needs, that walks with us through difficult times, and who lays down his life for the sheep. We all know that Jesus gave his life for us. We celebrate that or remember that on Good Friday, and we celebrate his new life on Easter. And he gave his life so that we might have life, abundant and eternal life. And we are truly grateful for such wondrous love. But does Jesus, the Good Shepherd, really expect us to do the same? Does Jesus really think that we can put ourselves before others? Can we really love others so much that we would lay down our own lives for their security and safety? The Epistle of 1 John that we have been reading during this Easter season is a letter written to a troubled church reminding them how to be followers of Christ. And in that piece that Candy read for us this morning, the author makes it perfectly clear. We are to love as Christ loved. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in truth and actions. We know love because God loves us. And we know love because Christ loved us and gave his life for us. And we know real love when it finds its expression in action. Easter doesn't call us just to an euphoric joy that Christ is alive. It calls us to a transformed life, a life of love, a life of caring. We are called to a life of self-sacrifice where we keep God first and we put others before ourselves. That's not a popular notion in our culture today, where everything seems to promote putting ourselves and our needs first. An essay in Feasting on the Gospel says this: sometimes self-sacrifice can mean physical death. We know that when we stand beside victims of injustice or hate or racism, we might become the next victim. If we go in love to those who are under daily threat of violence or war and share with them a witness for healing and peace, we have to expect that the next bomb or bullet will find us. In every age, Christians have acted with such Christ-like love, going where they do not have to go and suffering what they could easily avoid. More often, though, the stakes are lower. But the principle is the same. Laying down our lives at its core can mean any number of ways in which we lay aside our claim to our own lives. We lay down our lives when we put others first. We lay down our lives when we live for the good of others. We lay down our lives when we make time for others. To love others is to lay down our life for them. When we lay down the completely normal human desire to live for ourselves, and when instead we allow the love of God to reorient us towards the needs of others, we are laying down our lives. When we reorient our lives to the needs of others, we are laying down our lives. The author goes on to say, faith and love come bound together as a single package. Faith alone, the reformer said, is all that is required for salvation. But faith is never alone. When God creates saving faith in our hearts, God creates active love. Faith in Jesus Christ is faith that transforms the believing heart, making it a self-sacrificed heart. The Good Shepherd, Jesus the Christ, laid down his life for us. And the least we can do is lay aside our lives and let love guide us to put others first. Jesus himself said it best, love one another as I have loved you. Amen.